Listen to this headline from a recent article in the Washington Examiner. Fake charities are spending millions to help Democrats win elections. Author Parker Thayer writes, quote, "It's no secret that government agencies give the left more of a leash than the right. Headline-grabbing stories over the past few years have exposed the overt political biases of agencies such as the FBI and the Justice Department." Parker Thayer is an investigative researcher at Capital Research Center in Washington, D.C. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. And Parker Thayer joins us right now to discuss this issue. Parker, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, Jerry. I'd love to talk about this with you.
Sure. And Capital Research Center is what? Just real fast.
So Capital Research Center is America's investigative think tank. We spend a lot of time looking into the money flows behind particularly left-leaning organizations that the media really doesn't want to report on. I think it's really important, the work that we do, so that way people know what, you know, who's really financing some of the terrible policy decisions that we see in the country today.
Yeah, so for example, George Soros, your organization has done a lot of work exposing some of his activities. As an example, Soros has funded, and this is no secret, something like 70 different prosecuting attorneys, district attorneys, or whatever, around the country, and these ladies and gentlemen are actually letting criminals go off easy, and then they go out and commit more crime, and they've really made cities like Philadelphia and New York City and Los Angeles much more crime-ridden than would be the case. So why don't you comment about that? Because here's my question. How is it that when Soros donates certain money that's supposedly charity, it ends up being directly used in partisan ways and, you know, to ill effect?
Yeah. So, you know, one of our favorite sayings is there are many, the left has many George Soroses. There are a lot of billionaires that finance left-leaning organizations like this. One of the tricks that they like to use is they use what are, you know, they're called 501c3 organizations, otherwise they're non-profit organizations. And they can donate large sums of money to these organizations tax exempt. Now, one of the conditions of the tax exemption that these organizations receive is they are supposed to be nonpartisan. In practice, a lot of the times, groups, particularly on the left, can get away with entirely ignoring these restrictions. This is true with the organizations that back district attorneys sometime. They put out all sorts of policy briefs and sometimes advertisements that encourage people to support not particularly candidates, but left-leaning policy agendas more broadly. And so they're able to claim tax exemptions for work that is definitely partisan intent. They do this somewhat with the district attorneys, but on a much larger scale, particularly in the 2020 election.
Yeah. So, for example, in the book Rigged by Molly Hemingway of the Federalist Society, she was talking about in fact, she has a whole chapter about Mark Zuckerberg and Zuckbucks, so-called. Can you tell us about that? I mean, her particular
Rigged is an excellent book that everyone should read. We are super proud of the Capital Research Center. We were able to help with a lot of the research in that. And we've kind of been leading the charge on researching Zuckbucks. What Mark Zuckerberg did, and you know, this will segue really well into the content of the op-ed we're discussing later on in a bit here. What Mark Zuckerberg did was he donated several hundred million dollars to an organization called the Center for Tech and Civic Life. The Center for Tech and Civic Life then donated all of that money to your local election offices. Most of the time, it'll be a county election administrator directly to the county. And they did this to finance things, you know, they said it was to finance things like buying personal protective equipment for COVID, you know, updating voting machines, increasing staff capabilities. What it did a lot of the time is it financed what they called nonpartisan voter education, which encouraged people to get out. The goal of it was to boost turnout. Now, when they financed districts both left and right, but when you look at the distribution of the money, even on a per capita basis, given that left-leaning districts are often more densely populated, When you look at it, even on a per capita basis, this money disproportionately supported areas that were known to be Democrat leaning. Thus, with a lot of money that is not supposed to support anything partisan, the Center for Tech and Civic Life and other organizations were able to accomplish partisan outcomes, boosting Democrat turnout, particularly for the presidential election, with money that is not supposed to do anything of the sort.
Okay, I see, hear some sort of clicking in the background. I don't know what that is, but it's okay. But in the meantime, I mean, is what Mark Zuckerberg did legal? It seems like he's never gone to jail, or he's never been charged with a crime, to my knowledge. But it doesn't sound kosher to me.
It really doesn't sound kosher, and this is part of the genius of this whole operation with Center for Tech and Civic Life. In particular, was that nobody had really ever thought before of directly financing government entities like the election administration offices, and then using those entities to conduct, get out the vote activities designed to disproportionately get out the vote for Democrats. Since then, dozens of states have passed laws banning or restricting this type of funding that the Zuckbucks engaged in, but there are a lot of states where it's still entirely legal.
Do you think that the 2020 election, Lord willing, will be more secure than the 2020 election because of laws, passed in different states and so forth to try and, restore some, at least a modicum of voter integrity?
I am no expert on election issues. There are a lot of conservatives who are and specialize exclusively in that. But I do think that banning this type of funding is an extremely important step at ensuring there is not an abuse of the nonprofit sector, and which allows the nonprofits to do partisan things with kind of a hand-in-glove approach to partisanship.
All right. The article that you wrote, and we're linking to it in this discussion and so forth, uses the word – in fact, the very headline itself is fake charities – blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
So comment on fake charities. I think that's a very interesting, that should be an oxymoron, but it isn't.
So in the legal sense, they're not that, they are real 501c3 organizations. But when you think of charities, you think of, public education, soup kitchens, things that are doing important work that the government subsidizes with a tax exemption. What these 501c3s are doing is essentially just stuff that PACs, political action committees, ought to be doing. And PACs are subject to all kinds of rules. They are not tax exempt. You have to disclose who your donors are. You can't accept donations from foreign citizens. These charities are basically functioning as tax exempt PACs for the Democratic Party. They don't really do charitable work or seem to even really care about doing charitable work. They justify the work that they do, which, to summarize it essentially, is very similar to what the Zuckbucks funded. They engage in voter registration campaigns, and they realize that if you register a person to vote who was not previously registered, obviously they are able to vote. But not only that, they are far more likely to vote just because of the act of getting registered, at least for one election cycle. Just because of the fact that they are now registered. Now, if you are able to target these registration campaigns towards areas that you know are going to vote Democratic, particularly in swing states for the presidential election, you're going to be able to do more than than even the DNC could dream for boosting Democratic turnout and the Democratic vote in the elections.
You know, it's interesting. A lot of people say things like, well, the Republican Party is the party of the rich. But in reality, it seems like you said even earlier, there's lots of billionaires on the left that are donating, to promote their radical agenda. But it doesn't seem like we have the same kind of thing on the right.
No. And that's, that's really one of the terrible things about this. What these registration groups, the voter registration groups that I wrote about, there are leaked memos that I linked to in my op-ed, admissions from liberal journalists this is a direct quote for describing the Voter Participation Center, which is one of the many groups. I think they raised $88 million in 2020, and spent most of that on, essentially get out the vote activities for the Democratic Party. This is a direct quote from a book on that organization. There was no secret that the goal of all of its efforts was to generate new votes for Democrats. You know, they are getting away with things that Republican organizations could never dream of. You know, if you need any justification of that, just remember the Lois Lerner scandal, which those organizations that were that Lois Lerner blocked the creation of were 501c4s. These are 501c3 organizations, which are even more strictly regulated and not supposed to be partisan at all. These organizations are getting away with things that Republicans could only dream of. So there's absolutely no equivalency here. Republicans couldn't dream of doing this sort of thing. Otherwise, you know, all sorts of three-letter agencies would be down their throats immediately.
You know, this is so amazing too, because as you, you know, pointed out earlier, this is all tax deductible stuff. You know, as if this is charities, and it's not. It's just strictly partisan activity, and that on the left. And quite frankly, you know, to me, that this is all ruining the country. And it's very corrupt. So how do we solve this problem, Parker?
Well, I think the IRS, with, you know, at least a few of its several thousand new agents, tens of thousands of new agents even, could look into, you know, investigating these organizations and more closely regulating what they're engaging in. The rules that are already on the books seem to prohibit exactly what these voter registration organizations are doing, and all note that all of what they're doing is essentially a secret campaign. You know, behind the scenes, they did not, you know, leaked memos show that they did not want people knowing what they were doing, particularly during the 2020 election. There needs to be a lot more enforcement. And if they're not, if the IRS isn't willing to uphold the laws that are already on the books, they need to make sure, you know, Congress needs to act and make sure that there are laws on the books that more strictly regulate what these nonprofit organizations are allowed to do in regards to voter registration campaigns.
It's interesting too. You know, the one name we haven't mentioned in this discussion, but I'll name him, Trump. There's this sort of this anti-Trump hysteria on the part of the left, and they pulled out all the stops, and they were effective, you know, in the 2020 election. And obviously a lot of people wonder or scratch our heads and say, you know, was that all fair? Was that all on the up and up? You know, my big question, I've said this so many times, if the left is so great, why do they have to cheat to win? But any comments about Donald J. Trump?
I don't particularly have any comments about Mr. Trump, but you know, what happened in the 2020 election, whether or not you believe that there was any substantial fraud or anything like that, you have to acknowledge that there were a lot of organizations doing various, you know, we mentioned Zuckbucks earlier, but these voter registration organizations, I mean, people don't know about this, but there was hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars spent on campaigns just like this, voter registration campaigns that are designed to get out the Democratic vote, you know, that aren't, by any logical person's standards, charitable activity. These organizations are flagrantly getting away with pushing the rules to the very, very, you know, farthest extent of what they're allowed to do, or just outright violating the rules. You know, when people are allowed to get away with things like that, it, you know, no matter who the candidate is, I don't think you can really say they stood a fair chance.
Okay, we have 45 seconds left. What else would you like to say that, you know, that hasn't been said?
I would just say that voter registration and nonpartisan voter registration drives like this are the biggest scandal you've never heard of. Leaked memos from Democratic super PACs describe them as 4 to 10 times more effective at netting additional Democratic votes than traditional PAC spending. You know, Republicans we're competing against people who have super weapons we could never imagine. Conservative organizations just can't compete, and there needs to be something done about it.
Wow, that's quite eye-opening. Thank you so much for being with us. Again, we'll link to this article. Parker Thayer, appreciate it. And obviously, we've just scratched the surface. Is there a website you want to refer us to?
We have two websites. CapitalResearch.org is an excellent website where you'll find awesome research all the time. And InfluenceWatch.org was a Wikipedia of all things politics and all things nonprofits that is a great resource for anyone doing their own research.
CapitalResearch.org. What was the second one?
InfluenceWatch.org.
InfluenceWatch. Okay. Thank you, Parker. All the best.